Sophia Bancroft. So the Treasury and the Westernic Gambling Board knows the members. For the record, I will allow you just to introduce yourself. We have apologies from Member Ace for today. Before we proceed with the agenda, let me just allow the our guests to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm Klaas Langenhoven from Provincial Treasury, and apologies from Mr. Hussein, who's on the local government engagements on the MTEX.
Good morning, Claire Horton, Provincial Treasury.
Good morning, David Lacay, Chairperson, Western Cape Gambling Racing Board.
Good morning, Yvonne Skeppel from the Office of the Board.
Good morning, Prima Abrams, Office of the Board.
Good morning, Robin Bennett, Office of the Board.
Good morning, Sally Siva, Office of the Board.
Good morning, Megan Besson, Office of the Board.
Good morning, William Barbers, Office of the Board.
Good morning, Alvin Matthews, Office of the Board.
Thank you. Just for the members, our agenda is today to deal with the Gambling and Racing Board's accommodation. We will also receive a briefing from the Gambling and Racing Board on the 18.6 million distribution to Kenilworth Racecourse. And then we have drop committee meetings, reports to deal with. I just would like to say to Mr. Lacay, welcome, and to Mr. Abrams, thank you very much for coming today again with your delegation and the preparation that you've done. On the board, on the screen, I see the point about the accommodation. It's a long standing item from previous terms. I'm sure Member Beerbanker will know about this, and we hope that after the presentation we will be able to to have a finding that there's good news in making moving forward on this matter. I'm handing over. Thank you to Treasury as well for being here.
Thank you, Chair. Let's go straight to the presentation. As you indicated, this comes on quite a while. Provincial Treasury and Transport and Public Works and the Gambling Board have been in engagement for quite a while on this matter. Various options were considered in terms of, amongst others, improvement of the current space, better utilization and so forth. But given the heritage status of the building, it's very difficult to do what one would need to do. And then obviously with that also goes the discomfort of being in a building and it gets worked on and substantially upgraded and so forth. So for the interim solution is then for a rental accommodation, and we will unpack that a little bit more in the next slide. Safe to say that the long-term permanent or provincial-owned accommodation is not totally off the table, but the Department of Transport and Public Works is considering still various options on that matter, and it will be still under consideration. Just in terms of the procurement process followed so far, various engagements as indicated were held, and eventually there was an agreement on the specifications, space requirements and so forth on the 2nd of March. Advertisement got finalized and so forth, and agreed on a space requirement of just under 2,000 square meters, 1926, and then secure parking in the vicinity. They've got 50 parking bays. Then the option on the table is currently a 3-year lease period with the option to renew for the further 2 periods, and then in the northern suburbs. The address was placed in the as required by Western Cape Land Administration Act or Law in the local newspapers as well as in the Government Gazette. Unfortunately, the tender bulletin was a bit late, 6th of April, so instead of the closing date of yesterday, the closing date is now the 10th of May. And that is also to indicate its expression of interest, and from there the department will take that further. it's difficult to unpack exactly the details of timelines. Being on that department as well for a while, you never know what you're getting. Sometimes you don't get any response and so forth, but hopefully there's interest on the market side. Because again, sometimes when we advertise big spaces, we're not always getting what we want, but 2,000 square meters more or less, there should be hopefully some serious interest on the market. So it will be difficult to give timelines for the process to follow after that. It also depends what kind of work will be required. Sometimes you get accommodation that needs further refurbishment and so forth, and there's negotiations between the successful bidder and the department in terms of what can be done, what can't be done, and so forth. So sometimes that also takes a bit of time, and then when the actual occupation of the building will be taken. In terms of the current accommodation, that also came in quite a while, and they've done a full scope of work or what must be done. They appointed the architect, given that it's a heritage building, and it will be submitted either today or shortly to the Western Cape Heritage Council in terms of what needs to be done. But it's a fairly, as they normally call it, the repairs and the renovations of the current building. The total externally including roofs and windows and facades and paintings, doors and windows and etc. As well as some of the internal work, fairly internal substantially, but not necessarily all the apparently a few rooms that won't be touched, but otherwise it's fairly general repairs and renovations to a large extent. And that's a bit up, but from our side, Jim.
Thank you. I'm not sure if from the board side if they want to raise anything or add anything perhaps that to what they've heard from your side, precisely, and Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we want to thank the Department of Public Works for driving this process, and we appreciate it. Just a couple of items from our side, and Chair. Whilst Ms. Langano has indicated that yes, it is difficult to give timelines, but from the board side, we understand information coming out of a process like this could delay things. But I think we just need to prepare ourselves in terms of the process, the various steps that needs to be followed once the expression of interest has closed, so that we as a board could perhaps just have an indication as how the process will unfold. It is most difficult to say exactly how long this process is going to take, but one must work with reasonability in mind for us. We say that because the frustration levels of our staff is something that we have to contend with regularly, Chair, but we appreciate it. And then just on the current building, Chair, if we can ask Public Works to please attend to the ablutions. It's part of the work, and I don't know with Heritage how they get involved in this whole process. I can understand from the external point of view, if they can just look at that specific item and whether it requires an input from Heritage and all of that to drive us, because we have a health and safety issue in particular.
Members,
yeah.
I think just
a Chair, that is from the building. And then we just want to highlight also in terms of the budget implications that will arise from this process. One must bear in mind that the Western Cape Board's budget has now been approved, which includes the rental allowance. And the longer this process goes into the fiscal year, the greater the unspent amount will be that we have to then account for. That are the most major items that we would like to bring to attention. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, members. What I wanted to say was that I think everyone around this table, the previous minister, the previous committee, this committee, I'm sure the previous board, this board, and in Treasury from the previous term to this term, I'm sure we all have one focus, is to deal with the accommodation, create a better living space, working space for the board. I'm sure we're on the same page with regard to this. I want to thank you for the presentation and your contribution. Member Beerwinkel, then Member McKenzie.
Chair, I don't think this is something that we should deal with kid gloves. This is ridiculous. That's the word I want to use. You've just correctly said this issue comes from the previous term and the previous committee and previous a whole host of other things. I think, Ms. Kefu, can you tell me, just refresh my memory, when was that first meeting that we had when you took us all through the tour on the whole building and we, 2016? 15? 16? 2015. It's 2018 now, Chair. And you hear the chairperson saying the staff are frustrated. I don't blame them. It's ridiculous. How can we condone a process that the office specification was finalized and signed off on the 2nd of March 2018? I understand that there are processes that you need to follow when you send down the tender and you've got to do specifications, but how can that take you 3 years? We sat in that meeting on that day and we pointed out issues that need to be changed. We pointed out issues about staying there. We pointed out issues about the fact that it's a heritage building and it's difficult to make amendments and additions and deletions and break down this and that in a heritage building. Yet we still see that that's on the table today. How does this make sense? 3 years. I don't blame the... In fact, if I was those staff members, I wouldn't even come to work, to have to come and work in the conditions that they work in that building. It's ridiculous. Really. Now, I don't know where to put this blame. If it's Transport and Public Works that's dilly-dallying, if it's Treasury that's dilly-dallying, is it the board that's not putting pressure on them hard enough to get on with it and put the ad out? Really. Now you look at the timeline here on page 3. Signed off 2nd of March, advert 6th of March. I'd like to know why you're specifically choosing the northern suburbs. Is that not narrowing down the possibility of where you can possibly have accommodation? Is there a reason why it's the northern suburbs? And then the initial closing date is on the 3rd, now it's the 10th of May. So then, I think we will leave here at the end of this term and those board members will still be sitting in that building. At the rate that this is going now, it's just not acceptable, Chair. I don't understand why this process has to take so long. I wish somebody would be able to answer me. Why from 2015, if those board members are correct that we were there in 2015, till now? What took so long? How long does it take to call Transport and Public Works and Treasury and whoever else together, sit around the table, decide what it is that needs to be done, put out the tender? 2nd of March 2018. No, Chair, I'm sorry. I can't. And then I also hear the chairperson saying that there's a possibility that you're considering refurbishments. I hope we have learned our lessons from that Mossel Bay issue where the board chairperson went in and refurbished without consultation with the other people. If you remember that issue that we haven't even finalized yet in Scopa, not here. So, from my side, and I'm sure if Member Ace was here, he'd also express his absolute disgust in the length that this process is taking to get these people into decent accommodation. Thank you.
Thank you, Member. Member, before I hand over to Member McKenzie, I just wanted to say at the previous meeting or the last update, there were three options of buildings or directions, and I think the preferred recommendation was the one I'm sure we're working on now. I think so there was that process first where they had more than one option to choose from. I think the Treasury can, or the board itself can just confirm that, but I think that we should not take that into we should take that into account, Member Beerwinkel. Mm-hmm. There was quite a few processes, but I agree in terms of time frames We are far behind even our own committee in this own term. We've got a year to go. It was part of our key performance target that we also wanted to achieve ourselves. And hopefully we can still do that. Member McKenzie?
Thank you, Chair. I think everything has been said. And when I saw the 7.5 million provisional reserve, I was thinking this is the same thing. What's going to happen in the end of financial year? Because you're going to come to SCOPA and you're going to say that we couldn't spend the money because of X, Y, and Z. And where's Public Works? Public Works is not in the meeting. So a key partner in this is Public Works.
Mm.
And I think, Chair, I think we have a meeting next week. It's Finance Committee. If we can invite Public Works, even if the board is not here, for them to come and explain to us what is the delays. And the process will be closed by then, which is the 10th of May, and they should be able to give some timelines as to what's going to happen. Our next meeting, Chair, I think is on the 11th or the 15th. If we as a committee can invite Public Works urgently to come and address us and explain the delays. One understands their processes in procurement, and as Parliament, we don't want to get in the process, but when it becomes a burden in the annual report, when it becomes due to underspending, then it becomes a problem for us. And because then we need to do our oversight in ensuring that officials are held account to ensure taxpayers' money isn't lingering. And if I can read from this, with the refurbishment of the current heritage building, I mean, heritage consultants cost a lot of money. As a project manager myself, I know guys, particularly guys in Cape Town, Pete Townsend, Ashley Neal, I mean, these guys charge a big penny. So there's going to be money spent on them refurbishing this building, and what I think from here, temporarily, is going to be a pretty penny. And if one were to look at stuff like the ablution facilities, I mean, where are people supposed to go to the toilet? I mean, we had a march now, and we just playing over there to people. And, I mean, I'm sure that the officials is not at that level yet, but if they are going to get the level, we have to go there to burn, to put out fires. People want to burn down the old building. So it's much more serious than we think. We're making a bit of fun of it, but it's actually very serious. And we really would share a recommendation that we do invite Public Works, and if we'll see, we'll send the invitation from whoever can attend from your side, but compulsory Public will come to our next meeting, come and explain to us what's happening.
Thanks. Just want to ask Treasury, any response or comments you want to make?
Yeah, maybe just in short, we do acknowledge the process is taking long. So the first option was to upgrade the current facilities, and with that you have to do certain studies and to see if it's feasible or not. So that took long. Then the second option was the permanent relocation, and then Public Works is looking at co-locations and getting best value for money, so it's not necessarily only going to be one building for the gambling board per se. So that option is not off the table. That's why the 7.5 million, which is not formally part of the budget, it's just in the reserve. So they don't have to account for that necessarily at the end of the year if it's not spent. What the chairperson, the board is referring to is the rental stuff, which is just 3 million or so. Yeah. And that will have to be accounted for if it's not spent or not shifted in the adjustments budget process or something else. So that process is taking long. That the heritage, obviously, given that the building is much more older than 60 years, we've got no option. We must comply with our own laws. So we have to follow the heritage process, and you have to submit it and get the blessing of the Heritage Council before you can really touch the building. The toilet issues, I'm guessing now when I'm speaking on Public Works, but they most probably want to do it as a package to get also economies of scale, and I hear the health and safety issues. I don't want to express anything opinion on that from Treasury side. I don't know if something can be done in the interim to address some of the issues around the toilets, but they want to do it in one package and deal with everything. As part of government business, we must preserve our buildings as best as we can, you know what I mean? So even if, it's most likely at this stage that the gambling board will be moving out, if the tender process, expression of interest process is successful, to alternative accommodation. But we must still preserve the building, especially given that it's heritage status. So irrespective, the waterproofing and the windows and we must protect and preserve the building, so that work will, in any event, then continue.
Chair.
Thank you very much. I want to make sure any Member Bielenfeld, any comments from the board on what came from the member side?
I don't expect Mr. Lekay to respond to things I've said. Mr. Lekay wasn't even there when we started that first meeting.
No,
I'm referring to that first meeting and how things have happened.
But
I just want to ask a question on what the gentleman has just said.
Chair, nothing that I wanted to respond to with what Mr. Langenhove has said, but just to respond to a question.
Member Bielenfeld, I wanted Mr. Lekay to respond to Treasury, not to the history that you referred to, but I understand your point. But I wanted him to respond to what he heard from
Treasury.
Because
my question is also on that.
Yeah, thanks. I will allow you to ask that question, thanks. But let Member Lekay speak.
Thank you, Chair. Now, just to respond to Member Bierwinkel's question about why particularly the northern suburbs this was part of a process also through the whole process. The northern suburbs is preferable for us because most of our licenses, or the major licenses, is located in that region, so it will be easier access. And also as part of the government objective to move offices closer to our people, the majority of the board staff is located in the northern suburbs, so it will be easier traveling from them, which will then also assist with the congestion traveling into the CBD. That is part of mainly the reason, and it will definitely be preferable for us to be situated in the northern suburbs than anywhere else. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. And before Member Bielenfeld asked the question, I just want, she made a comment about the advert, you know, and the time frames where we are now. So what is the indications, realistically speaking, moving forward on when the alternative accommodation will be available, comparing it to what still needs to be spent whilst they're there? Is there any idea from Treasury or what you know from Public Works there?
Chairperson, I'm really twisting it to stick out my neck now. There are a couple of dependencies in the process. If we get good responses, or Public Works get good responses, and there's a fit for purpose building, then it could be within a 3 to 6 months period. However, if it needs to be revamped, refurbished, and that needs to be, you know, negotiated and budget and all this comes into play, then it most probably could take up to a year. But this is that I'm really sticking my neck now when I shouldn't.
I think the what added to the challenge is that if I hear Public Works is looking for a building to accommodate other people as well, other departments, they're not just focusing on the accommodation for the gambling board. Can you just, am I understanding you correctly, or just help me out here?
Chairperson, for the interim solution, which could be 3 years to 5 years in terms of leasing space, it's only for the board. So the 1,926 square meters, it's only for the board. In terms of the longer term period and relocating and adding to what was supporting what Mr. Nakaya said, is that part of the finding the best suitable space in terms of a lot of other factors nowadays, including traffic patterns and taking offices closer to home, Public Works is transport and public is looking at that. And that could be then co-location with other either entities like Cape Nature or a government, hopefully entities specifically or whatever. But that is still under consideration from their side. They've done also some traffic studies and so forth. We had to do some online survey on where staff is staying and so forth. So just in short, the leasing space is just for the board. The permanent relocation potentially with co-location with other entities.
Member Vivanka?
Chief, from the outset, I'd like to know why the discussion around refurbishment and fixing up of that heritage building was not done simultaneously looking for other accommodations. So you took all the time working out what it's going to take to refurbish that building. Then when it didn't work out, then only you went out to tender for another building. Because then you could have weighed up apples with apples at the outset. When you're done with the one, you've got the other one's answer as well. Now you weigh up. The other issue that I have with this heritage building, why are we wanting to touch a heritage building at all, besides just wanting to fix up what's wrong? Why do we want to do that? I just don't get this dilly-dallying delay about accommodation. There's something that we are not hearing. And I agree with Member McKenzie. Public Works should have been here today to answer these questions with Treasury as to, because Treasury basically is just dealing with the finance of this whole issue. It's Public Works that deals with the building, the fixing up and not fixing up, moving or not moving, tender or no tender, advert or no advert. They work together with Treasury. So we sort of dumping everything on Treasury's lap now, and the people who should also be here are not here. So I wholeheartedly support that Public Works should also be here. But then, just to calm myself down and on a lighter note, Mr. Lekay, I'm not so happy to know that the northern suburb is the gambling area. Ne? I come from there. But then also, I'll be happy to know that some of you are off the road in the morning so that I can get to town earlier. Because all the traffic coming this way, it's just ridiculous. Really.
I might just respond specifically on the one point and in particular. It's very challenging to some extent that process is parallel, because now you go go through all the processes and you line up a potential landlord on the other side, and then you say, no, but this building is fine. So all that process becomes fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Plus, you're creating expectation out there which you afterwards have to manage then in terms of not entering into a contract. So it's a bit difficult. It's a bit of a chicken and egg sometimes. What do you do first and what do, but you have to test in terms of your process. We have to test the current accommodation if it's suitable or not.
Yes, we know that from the outset it's not suitable, but if I also hear the little comments from the board, they don't want to be there. They want to be in the northern suburbs where they live.
Where
the
gambling
is. We come to you in the southern suburbs.
Where the business takes place.
Yeah.
All right. Members, I think we will do a resolution at the end, and we will deal with Public Works and see if we can, how we can assist to speed up this process. We really want to say to the board and to Treasury is assisting us that we want to pay special attention to this. We're disappointed that you're not there yet, but we will try our utmost best. Thank you very much for the preparation, Treasury. Appreciate it. Tricia, you want to be excused or shift that the other members can come to the for the presentation, come nearer. I'm sure who's going to do the presentation, or someone else going to do it. Okay, then it's fine. Thank you very much, members. We're moving to the second point on the agenda. I think it's about a year ago, just a year and a week or so ago, we paid a visit to the Kenilworth race course. It's one of my most exciting oversight visits. Very interesting. I think I remember very well. I said to the board members and the staff and the members here that there was a horse called Politician. And they didn't believe me until we went downstairs to look at all the racing history, and they seen that horse a politician who won the race. long before I got involved in politics.
The politician then fairly
Yeah, I think the other interesting part was I think the whole history of the existence of that place and how it operates, and I think it triggered a lot of interest from our members. And we haven't been to the Durbanville one yet, but it's a totally different operation. But I think myself as chair, we will see, and a member of two, will see how we can get the experience as well, what's happening there. But yes, I think the one point that interested us was the investment into Kennel with Racecourse, and we would like to hear more about that particular point, what happened there. Thank you very much. Over to the board.
Thank you, Chair, from our side, thank you for this opportunity to present to you on the Kennel with Racing Levy. As you just indicated, it is a very interesting industry with all sorts of consequences out of there, and we're happy to take you through this whole process. Mr. Bennett will do the presentation, and thereafter we will take some questions from your side, and any additional information with regards to the, not just the Kenilworth Racing Levy, but on the horse racing in general, if there may be, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The presentation will basically cover two aspects regarding the Kenilworth the betting levy. It's the historical background, how it came to arise that Kenilworth Racing receives the levy from, let's say, from provincial government. And the second part is what the board does or undertakes to ensure that the levy is utilised only in the manner that it should be utilised. The background, as far back as 2000, early 2000 already, the industry was in financial dire straits. That's the betting industry. However, it didn't really start there. At around 2000, there was a downward spiral. The situation was exacerbated because that was about the time when legalized gambling, other alternative forms of legalized gambling was introduced. Casinos opened around about 2001. Then the LPMs were basically also started to introduce, not in our province, we only started in 2004. But those other forms of gambling basically allowed, resulted in the Kenilworth, the racing industry having a downward spiral in terms of the financial situation. Because in terms of the situation is they had approached the provincial administration of government in around 1994 already. And the situation was that when they actually wanted the government to place an alternative tax on the bookmakers, because the bookmakers were taking bets on totalized, like the pool betting, which was basically their product. That thing was never basically materialized as such. At the time, the totalizator was run by the Western Province Racing Club. They were, like I said, indicated there was numerous requests basically to have a look at what benefits or could be done in terms of provincial government to assist the club with their financial situation. And the reason why they also considered this to be quite serious is because the industry itself at the time provided employment indirect and direct for about 28,000 people. That would be the people who would transport the horses, that would be the grooms, the jockeys, the trainers, and everybody's working at the stables as such. There were various discussions between the MECs basically, and there also was the MEC in terms of Western Cape provincial government and that of KZN, and the reason for that is they wanted to ensure that there is going to be some type of parity between the totalizer in the Western Cape and the totalizer in KZN, because of the nature of the industry is you could find yourselves, if there are better options in a certain provinces, the direction of the industry could be focused into one province, resulting even a further decline in the province. So what they have decided at that point in time is they would agree on whatever percentage they would they impose in one province, they would do it in the next province as well. Effectively, is at that point in time the totalizator tax was around about 14% in KZN. They effectively reduced that tax to 6% as well. The proposals and the recommendations was that there be that half of the taxes that was collected from the bookmakers, basically was what we paid over to the totalizator, and that would be in respect of the betting levy, and that the bookmaker taxes be reduced from 6.5% to 6%. Effectively, the proposal would have resulted in the club being placed in what you call a net tax receivable position, meaning that the taxes that they paid over to the provincial government was less than the taxes they received in terms of this betting levy. And you know, if we go down into present times, it's clearly evident the amount that we're talking about in this presentation is 80.6 million rand, which is half of the bookmaker tax, which would make 38 million rand for the year. So the bookmakers had paid taxes to provincial government of 38 million rand. The totalized data had effectively paid taxes for that same year of 7.6 million rand. So they paid over 7.6 million rand and received a betting levy of 18.6 million. The amendments were made to the Western Cape Racing and Western Cape Gambling and Racing Regulations, and this was published in the Government Gazette on the 8th of November 2002, at which time it also became effective. And now, since the coming in operation of the betting of this legislative provision, what the board effectively would do is we would do no different. There would be no difference in terms of what we do in terms of the collecting of the taxes. It's just the payment, the pay thereover. So the bookmaker would pay the taxes over basically the board. We will do the entire reconciliation as we normally do. We would pay the 50% or the 3% over to provincial government, and the 3% over would be paid to Kenilworth Racing. Coupled with the amendment to the legislation, there was also legislation which posed certain obligations in terms of Kenilworth Racing in terms of the levy which they were receiving. That is, they were restricted in terms of the use of this money for certain things, such as the day-to-day administration and running of the industry. That would be payment of salaries of anything of an administrative nature. They could also not incur any costs related to the jockey club with this money. They could not use this money to finance anything or any part of their business, and they could not use this money for paying for the license fees or renewals or any hearings attached to their license. In addition to this, the legislation also provides that the Kenilworth Racing needs to submit quarterly reports basically to the Office of the Board. These reports are basically reviewed at our office. So what actually happens is our auditors conduct what we call desktop audits, so they will review information at the desk or in the office there, but we also conduct on-site audit or on-site assessments where we verify any information that was submitted to us. The legislation prescribes what is considered for development expenditure, and the development expenditure includes states payable and upgrading of facilities. Now, the stakes payable, basically, that would be in terms of would be paid to the stakes or the paid to the winning, what they call the winning combinations. The winning combinations consist of four components. That would be the racehorse owners, the jockeys, the grooms, and the trainers. So those that's the winning combinations. Now, the reason why they would pay this money over to those people is that in order to make the racing attractive, and to attract the better racehorse owners, they have to up the stakes. And if the stakes are attractive, then they will obviously attract the better racers. Once they have attracted the better racers, it has a knock-on effect. It's so more people, the people in horse racing, will place more money on their and it eventually leads to higher income, basically, for Kenilworth Racing. Further to that, what also happens is, if you're going to have, they have these different racing, the racing calendar, they have different, between the provinces, they've decided who's having the major races in the year. So in the Western Cape, we have the Queen's Plate and we have the Sunmen. So from just before those races are taking places, then the horses are sent down to Western Cape. And if it's, and the horses are stable there for a while. So when it's the good horses here and they're stable there for a longer period, is Kenilworth Racing generates further income from the stabling of those horses, because they generate income from that as well. The legislation obliges Kenilworth Racing to spend at least 25% of the betting levy that they receive on the stakes. At this point in time, is they are actually spending 100% of their betting levy on the stakes. At this, there is also nothing wrong in terms of legislation for doing that. All this information, as indicated previously, is audited by the office on a regular basis. The purpose of the order is to ensure that the betting levy is utilized for the purpose that it was intended. At this point in time, all our orders revealed nothing untoward and that there is no non-compliance in respect of this on the part of Kenilworth Racing. The amount of the betting levy for the 2016-17 year was 80.6 million, which was fully utilized to enhance the stakes offered, and as indicated is the taxes paid for Kenilworth Racing for that for the same period amounted to 7.6 million rand.
Thank you for the presentation. I think before members ask questions, I just wanted to say from our visit to Kenilworth Racing Course, there were also questions about the history of the industry, the stakeholders in the industry, the transformation of the industry, and the agreements between government and the industry, and of course the big concern was the decline given the purpose of the Racing Gambling Board to support the Western Cape government's budget of coffers. I think that's the essence of your existence. So I think we'd like to get some responses on that, but I think I will allow just the members first. Member Bevanko, can you ask questions?
Yeah. Chair, from the outset, let me proudly announce I know nothing about gambling and betting. So, first of all, I want to know what is the difference between a bookmaker and a totalizer? Who's the one at the top of the echelon, and who's the others? What do they do? What's their purpose? Then I also wanted to know, is Western Cape and KZN the only two provinces that have horse racing? I know that there's the Durban July and the one that we have in the Western Cape. Is there nothing else in the other provinces? Also wanted to know, why is this now that your bullet point, third bullet point from the top, not your indentation, your bullet point, since coming into operation the board would collect the betting levy and pay over to the club, now Kenilworth Racing. What was wrong with the arrangement before? Did you have discrepancies with the paying over? Why does the board now have to first collect and then pay over? It's your third bullet on your presentation. Levy utilization, no, I don't have a question on that. Development expectation, that's fine. I think once I understand who's who in the zoo, then I can understand, you know, who's doing what and how they're generating their income. And you know, I always had this issue about us enhancing our own revenue by gambling and racing and taking money from the poor who really can't afford it. So I'm just doing this because it's my portfolio, not because I support it at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Member.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to, on page 5, in on the auditing of the information that they give you, do they have their own, the kennel, do they have their own company there as well? And do you audit their audited information or are you auditing from start? It's similar to the spending on the betting levies, that 25% or currently 100%. Is that information that they give you and you audit it as audited by their auditors, or do you send a fresh team in to look into with new eyes? Thank you.
Member Summers, anything like that? Over to the board.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, may I start with this question first? Okay. In terms of how we do the audit, the auditing that Member McKenzie is talking about probably is that they have the external auditors that produce financial statements. That's the one. Now, the financial statements, obviously, when it's come from a group of auditors, is there's very little information that you need to audit it because it's accepted. That financial information is audited when we do the renewal because it talks about the financial viability and the suitability. So that is the one thing. However, in terms of the audit that we do in terms of the betting levy, that is separate because their auditor won't have the mandate to look at certain things. So we do look at that separately. And to answer the question, we start from scratch on that one there because we must account for every cent to see that it's been spent correctly.
Based on what you're saying, they so far spent every cent correctly.
That is correct, Chair.
Just to emphasize the point, Member McKenzie, one must distinguish between external auditors and the board's compliance auditors. We were ordered from a compliance point of view, not from an external financial point of view. Thank you.
I just want to say, while Treasury is here, obviously there's feasibility studies from Treasury side as well. We're looking now, coming back to the point of the sustainability, you know, continuation, and what happens there, you know, from a financial perspective and the future that we must do. So I'm sure Treasury was dealing with one study, and the board itself was dealing with one study, but today we were specifically just point to unpack this. But I think we will get to that that part of the business still very soon, and I hope that reports will be ready from both sides reporting on that as well.
Mr.
Bennett,
just
part
to
in terms of the third bullet point, and maybe I just need to clarify what I mean since coming to operation of that specific legislative provision.
Yeah.
The board had got that, had collected the tax, the betting levy, and paid it over to Kenworth Racing.
And now?
No, sorry, they're still doing it. We're still doing it. I do believe the manning which is put there is, it's very confusing and it's badly phrased.
Okay.
Thomas,
can I just...
Sure.
This Western Cape Racing Club, do they still exist? And who are they?
It is now Kenworth Racing.
So that's become Kenworth Racing. So the bookmaker and totalizator,
okay.
Who are and what are they and what do they do?
The totalizator is Kenilworth Racing. So while the totalizator operates, is they take something what you call pool betting, pool bettings. So everyone will bet and all the money will go into a pool. So your winnings, whoever wins, will only be basically from that pool as such. Okay. So there's, let's put it, little risk on the part of the totalizator in terms of, because he can only pay out what is in the pool. So if nobody bets on that, he doesn't place himself at risk.
Okay, use us, we betting. The three of us, we betting.
I'm the
betting on politicians and you the totalizer.
I'm the totalizer.
Okay.
If everybody puts in 100 rand and Ms. Bierwinkel wins, you get
300 rand.
Well, no. I need to take a portion for myself. So I need to
take.
I need to take my 25% and you get to 75% on that one. So you will get 215 rand on that one.
So that's the totalizator.
That's
and the bookmaker?
Okay, the bookmaker. Now I'm the bookmaker. What happens is on that same race, I say, I offer different odds. Okay? So the races there now offer you 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll offer the same odds to everyone. The risk is that if that person wins, I need to take that money out of my pocket. But when I talk about my pocket, I'm hoping that other people are going to bet with me, that's going to lose as well. There is no pool. I'm telling you outright already, before you bet, you know exactly what you're going to win. That's by a bookmaker. By a totalizer, you don't know, because nobody knows what the pool is going to be. A person could put in a bet, a very large bet, just before the race closes.
So which is the better one to go for then?
But Ms. Bierman, you're absolutely correct. People have their preferences.
Yes.
People have their preference. A person, some people want to go to the races, he wants to stand, he takes it with a totalizer, you know, and then the other people have their bookmakers, then they have specific bookmakers they put in. So this is a bit, it's a very funny industry, you know, where they form close ties with the people that they place bets with.
Sure. I'm not afraid to express my ignorance in terms of gambling. Is this what is normally called a tote in the community?
Yes, that is correct.
That's a totalization. That's where the people will sit and discuss it.
That's correct.
Now
what you will have is the totalization premises itself would be Kenilworth Racing, but you get totalization, that's the totalization on course. Then you get the totalization premises off course, which means that Kenilworth Racing will apply for a premises in...
Hmm.
Any area.
I know there's one in
not in the northern suburbs and not in Swellendam also. In any area. And then what
thank you.
What they will do is we will grant them a license, and then that is run by Kenilworth Racing, but they're only offering totalizator bets, which is basically once again pool betting. But next to the totalizator you can have a bookmaker. And funny enough is both businesses will, I don't use the word thrive because the industry is not thriving, but they will be making their money because people have different preferences. So that is there is a difference.
And
then the third question. in terms of the other provinces, while the major provinces in terms of the ration would be Gauteng and KZN, and you have Eastern Cape as well. So in all three provinces, also offering the betting levy back to the totalizator of 3%. The only difference is in Northern Cape, where they're offering back to the totalizator 1%. But one can understand also just in terms of the economics of that province.
Is this betting taking place on a national and international scale? When what happens here in Western Cape? So it's open to the whole world when people decide to participate.
Well, what actually happens is you get people. I think they, I'm not quite sure, but Ms. Kepa could help, they sell their races out to overseas people. But that wouldn't affect us either because we're only concerned about South African betting.
No, but I mean, is it open to the world to bet here while the race is on here? That's what I want to know. In that, like the big, the July and the Met and the big other race.
That is true, but that would be for that wouldn't fall under our mandate.
Not on your mandate, but I mean the business is running. So I'm just asking. I mean, when we were there, we saw a big truck there. And I think we got pictures international races that you can see from that truck that was there outside. So I'm asking, when you have a big race here, a national race, is there international people betting here and putting big money in here as well?
For the big races, I do believe they would do that. For the big races, because it's the same year where you get the Kenworth Racing or bookmakers offering bets on international events as well. That's correct. Yeah.
Jeff, I just enhanced that. Pumalela runs what they call TallyTrack. That is on DSTV, and the big races are advertised via TallyTrack. That's where it goes out internationally, and bets are taken. When those races go out.
I think just before you, the member Bevenkel also asked the question of why you pay to the board first, and then I think member Bevenkel? Why was there not a straight payment? Why to the board first? I think something like that you asked.
I think it's very important to note that somebody's responsible to ensure that all taxes are correctly calculated, at times they're paid, and okay, so that's what we do. So we collect all the, because the bookmaker at this point in time, the bookmaker is not supporting the totalizator. It's the provincial government that is providing the sponsorship to the totalizator. So the bookmaker must pay the complete taxes in, and we do the reconciliation. So once we it would become very complicated if it was a different way, because we know what their revenue is. We calculate what the 6% is, and then we at the same time calculate what the 3% is, and say, the 3% gets paid timely over to provincial government, and the 3% gets paid over to provincial Kenworth Racing.
That is, this 18.6 million sits in the business of the industry, and then you determine how it's divided, who gets what percentage before it's paid over.
First of all, I must indicate is the taxes are collected on a weekly basis. Okay, so these things are, so the calculation is done basically on a weekly basis. The 18.6 million is the cumulative total that we will get to at the end of the year. But 18.6 million doesn't get paid up, like it gets paid up during the year.
Who of you guys sitting here does that?
Chair,
you have to pass very well. Now you see, what did I want to ask? Oh, remember the day you went to Kenworth? I wasn't working, I was ill that day. What was the problem you encountered there? Because I know you came back and said, we need to get the gambling board here because you needed to ask some questions. Are they covered in this presentation? The concerns that you picked up there?
The concerns I've raised earlier on when I summarized it, I think, is when I referred to that feasibility studies and sustainability report we will get to. So it's about the industry, the transformation, who owns it, where does the money go to initially, why do we only get that percentage as agreed between the government and the board, you know, the targets that we set, and why is the industry in decline? Because of, is it online illegal gambling? Is it because people don't want to come there anymore? There's a whole lot of things that will come out of that report that we will see. So it's a little bit separate from this. Today we wanted just to focus on how that operation takes place. But the other questions you asked that we've raised when we came back is about will come out of that report, the other reports.
Just as a matter of interest, JMA, what's the spectrum of ownership, you know, in terms of horses? Who's the majority owner of these politician type of horses? Are there any black owners? That's what I basically want to know.
Member Beerwinkel, I think I will allow them to answer. But I think, as I say, we will have a special meeting just to start off with that and venture into the whole transformation, ownership, and so on. But if they want to answer now, I mean, they can answer. But I'm not sure they have all that information.
It's fine. I didn't know that you're planning another meeting for this. It's fine.
To the
Chief, I may just address that. Thank you, and I think you are right. It is the subject of a special purpose. You've rightly stated that Treasury did conduct that research. That research is in the process of being finalised, etc. And the Gambling Board had commented on the, when it had the opportunity, commented on the research. So I think it's best that we wait for that process to take its course. Certainly we can share information with regards to what Kenilworth Racing is as an entity, because they do regular reports to the subcommittee of the board quarterly at the horse racing committee meeting, where we interrogate them on their processes and all of that. I think the broader picture, Member Beerwinkel, will flow out from the research that had been done and the recommendations that will emanate from that research.
Can I just ask you, is this social responsibility also addressed in that report?
So everything is covered.
My social responsibility is on an ongoing basis, ma'am. At every quarterly horse racing committee meeting, Kenilworth Racing makes presentation on their social responsibility, not just their financial situation, etc.
My question now is, in the second report that the chairperson is referring to, will we get, because we don't know what it is. You're saying on a weekly basis they give you their social responsibility. As I'm sitting here, I don't know what it is. Is it coming in that report?
No, answered us, I think there's another stakeholder, the police community forum, for example, that is part of the Kenilworth race course, providing a service, but they're also a stakeholder in terms of providing training, for example, and skills, and there's a partnership there. But the social responsibility is also what they do outside of with the community out there. So that information, I'm sure you're looking at.
Chief, that is not a picture of the broader research. If we talk about the social responsibility, then we can say that Kenilworth Racing, being an entity on its own, they are on a level 4 BBBE, and the Thoroughbred Trust is the sole shareholder in Kenilworth Racing. And the trust, it protects the interest of all the parties that is involved with horse racing. Here we're talking about the owners, the grooms, the license holders, and also to ensure that all the revenue that is derived from horse racing and the dividends that the trust gets from Kenilworth Racing is furthering the industry. And just to note also that the Thoroughbred Trust is a non-profit organization. So all of their dividends and the funds will be spent, as we just indicated, on the furtherance of the industry. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Member McKenzie, you want to ask a question?
No,
you covered. All right, fine. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. I think we have a better understanding. I think the other reports that and interaction we're going to have would be very interesting in understanding the bigger picture of the business and how the Western Cape government as a partner to the business for a specific purpose, you know, engage and how we can move forward on that, because there are some serious challenges there. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. there are no further questions, then we would like, just like to thank you for coming and presenting. And I'm not ruling out that when we have the future meetings, engagements, that it will not perhaps indirectly come back to what we've discussed here as well, and as part of the bigger picture. But thank you very much, Chairperson. Anything from your side?
No, we just want to thank you for this opportunity. And then, as you just lastly said, Chair, we are here to present you with information should there indeed arise. If you require information with regards to the industry, we are at your disposal, and we'll share with you what, as best we can, whatever is available to us, Chair. Thank you. And thank you to the members also.
Thank you very much once again. Sorry, Member Bielenga.
When I finish here and I apply for my beer shop, I don't want to come to this office here. I want to go to the Northern
Hill. Much for Treasury as well for coming.
My license.
You are excused. Yeah. You may enjoy some you may enjoy the refreshments outside.
There's going to be a tote attached to it, that's why I'm saying I don't want to come.
No,
I don't, still don't understand who's reading this.